All right, everybody, ready? Megillah Daf Yud Dalam and Aleph, 13 lines down from the top. The Gemara starts Tanu Rabban in the beginning of the line. Here we go. Tanu Rabban and the rabbis start. Arbayim Ushmona Neviim Vishiva Nevios Nisnabul Em Yisrael. The Jewish people had 55 prophets, 48 men and 7 ladies. 55 prophets. In fact, if you look in Rashi over here, starting on the right column and going to the left column, he counts all of them. So if you're interested in knowing who the 48 men were, Rashi over here counts. The Gemara doesn't list the 48 men. The Gemara will talk about the ladies. So Gemara tonight, we'll learn about the ladies. But if you want to know who all of the prophets are by name, so you can look in Rashi over here, and Rashi lists all of them for you. But there's 55 prophets. V'lupachasu v'lohosiru mashakasav batorah, chutz mimikra megillah. And those prophets didn't add any mitzvos to what it says in the Torah, except for Megillah. Now the truth is, that's not entirely accurate. They added a lot of things, but they didn't add brand new mitzvahs. That's a Rashi over here. So they didn't add, they made a lot of decrees. They were safeguarding things, protecting things, but they didn't make brand new mitzvahs out of nowhere, or not out of nowhere, but they didn't make brand new mitzvahs with no connection except for Megillah. Rashi over here actually asks, they also made Chanukah. Rashi says that's not true because Chanukah happens after the close of the Nevi'im. Chanukah is after Chanan, Mishael, and Azariah. So the Gemara here is only talking about in the days of the prophets. Chanukah happens after the days of the prophets. So Chanukah doesn't make the cut. That's what Rashi here explains. Good. So they only added Megillah. It's the only thing they added, Purim. So my Darush, where did they get that from? What was it that made them say, oh, we need to add something now? They didn't add any. The whole period, from the days of Moshe all the way to the days of Esther, they didn't add anything. All of a sudden, they said, oh, we need to make a new holiday. Where did that come from? So, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yoshua Ben Karcha, Umam Me Avdus L'Cheirus, Amrim Shira, Mimisa L'Chaim Lo Kol Shekein. They made the following logical understanding. They said, listen, when the Jews left Egypt, I'm learning like Rashi now. Not everybody learns like Rashi. But when the Jews left Egypt, they said Shira at the Yamsuf, when they were saved from Avdus L'Cheirus, from slavery to freedom, they sang Shira. So Haman wanted to kill them. So if leaving slavery warrants the creation of a song of singing Shira, so then saving life would obviously require the recitation of song. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Ihachi Halal Nami Nema. So then why don't we say Halal? We have Purim, right? If the whole Kavachomer was that they said Shira, then what should we do? We should say Shira. So why don't we say Halal on Purim? So this is a famous Gemara right here. The Gemara says, "L'fisha'in omrim Halal al neisha b'chutz la'aretz," because Purim happened in Persia, and we only say Halal for things that happened in Israel. We don't say Halal for things that happen outside of Israel. The Gemara says, "Are you so sure? Yitzias Mitzrayim d'neisha b'chutz la'aretz heichi amrin on Shira." You remember that Pesach holiday? Where did that happen? That happened in Egypt. So what do you mean we only say halal for things that happened in Israel? We say halal for Pesach, and Pesach happened in Egypt. What are you talking? Yeah, because Pesach happened before we got Israel. Once we got Israel, so then we only say halal for things that happened in Israel. But before we had Israel, so then they said halal for Pesach, because before we had it. Rav Nachman Amar Kriyasa Zuhilela. Rav Nachman says, who says we don't say Hallel? What are you talking about? We don't say Hallel. We do say Hallel. It doesn't look like Hallel. It's reading the Megillah. Reading the Megillah is like saying Hallel. In fact, the Meiri over here writes that he thinks that because he thinks that the halacha is like Rav Nachman, Meiri writes, if you don't have a Megillah, if you cannot read the Megillah, then you have to say Hallel. That's what the Meiri here says. I do not believe that the accepted halacha is like the Meiri, but that's what the Meiri says. That because Rav Nachman says that the Megillah takes the place of Hallel, so he says, well, if you don't have the Megillah, then you have to go back and you have to say Hallel. I do not believe the halacha is like that, the Meiri, but that's what he writes over here. Rava Amar, Rava says, Bishlama Hasam Hallelu Avdei Hashem. What does Hallel say? And if you read the text of the Hallel, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, you should sing praise to God, those who are servants of God. Velo Avdei Paro. The reason why you say that we were servants of God, and it's highlighting that we were not servants of Paro. Elohacha, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, Velo Avdei Achashverosh, Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan. We couldn't say that by Purim. Because the equivalent by Purim would be, we're servants of God and not servants of Achashverosh. But even after we were saved from Haman, we were still living under Achashverosh's domain. We were still living under Persian rule, so we couldn't say that pasuk. So that's why we don't say Hallel on Purim. So Bein L'Rava, Bein L'Rav Nachman, Kashya. But we have problems now for Rava and Rav Nachman. You see, because Rava and Rav Nachman both maintain that you can say Hallel for things that happen outside of Israel. Rava says we just couldn't say Hallel by Purim because we were still slaves to Achashverosh. Rav Nachman says that we do say Hallel on Purim, it's just the Megillah. But in theory, they both assume that you can say Hallel for things that happen outside of Israel. But the Gemara said, I thought we said that we don't say Hallel for things that happen outside of Israel. Once we got Eretz Yisrael, so then we don't say things for Hallel for outside. So the Gemara answers, Kevan Shigalu Chazru Lechshiran Arishon. Now, that was when we were still sovereign in the land of Israel. But once we were exiled from Israel, so then the laws went back. You see, when we were in Egypt, so we're allowed to say Hallel for things that go there. We came into Israel, so when we're sovereign in the land of Israel, so then we don't say Hallel for things that happen outside. But when we were exiled from Israel, we were back out in Persian exile, so we could say Hallel for things that happened there as well. Visu Lekka, the Gemara asks, we said that there's 55 prophets. Is that really it? There's really only 55? Vaksim. Right, I was talking about Elkanah, right, and the in the beginning of the book of Shmuel, right. You remember Hannah's husband, Penina's husband, Elkanah, right, Shmuel's father, right. And so there was one fellow, Minam Rasayim Tzofim, and the Gemara says Echad Mimasayim Tzofim Shenisnabu Lehen LiYisrael, that he was one of 200 people who were having nevuah for the Jewish people. So you see, there was a lot more than 55, a lot more than 55. It says here 200. So may have a tuva. Really, it was more than 200, right? Kedatanya Harbe Nevi. Like double the amount of Jews who left Egypt. So how many Jews left Egypt? What, 600,000 Jews? So that means that the Jews had more than 1.2 million prophets. That's a lot of prophets, by the way. 1.2 million prophets the Jewish people had. Ella, so why are only 55 make the team? Nevuah shehutzucha ledoros nichtava. V'shelo hutzucha lo nichtava. In the Tanakh, we only have recorded for us the prophecy which is still relevant for us. Meaning those 1.2 million prophets, they all got prophecy, but that prophecy was only relevant for that moment when they got the prophecy, but it got nothing to do with us. All of the nevuah that we have written in Tanakh is relevant for us. Do you understand what the Gemara just said? That's very, very important statement. It means that all of the prophecy which is recorded in Tanakh is relevant for our world and our lives. Because if it was not relevant for our world and our lives, it would not have been recorded in Tanakh, like all of the other prophets that were not recorded in Tanakh. It's astonishing. It's a very amazing statement. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Omar, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani said, Odom Abba Mishtei Ramos Shetzofos Zu Es Zu. That doesn't mean that he was a prophet. It means he came from a location where there was two mountains. And they faced each other, and that's what Minim Rasayim Tzofim means. Rav Chanan Omar, Odom Abba Mibnei Odom Shom Berumo Shalolam. Remember, Asayim Tzofim means that he descended from people who stood Berumo Shalolam at the heights of the world. Who's that? Maninu Bnei Korach. He comes from the sons of Korach. Right? The Torah says, Dichsivu Bnei Korach Lomesu. Right? When Korach is swallowed by the world, his kids don't die. His kids separate from Korach at the very end and they don't get killed. So Elkanah was descendant from the Bnei Korach. Tana Mishum Rabbeinu Makom Nispatzer Lam Begehenim Va'amdu Olav. Ooh, the Gemara says that when the earth was swallowing them up, God like made a platform, you know, that jutted out, and they were able to save themselves by jumping onto that platform. That's what the Gemara says. Good. Sheven Avios Manihu, the Gemara says, who are these seven prophetesses? Is that how you say female prophets? I don't have time to discuss that with you. There were seven female prophets: Sarah, Miriam, Devorah, Hannah, Avigayo, Hulda, and Esther. And now the Gemara is going to show you where we know that each of these ladies was a female prophet. Sarah dichsiv avi milka v'avi yiska. The Torah, in describing Sarah, calls her avi yiska. V'amar av Yitzchak, Yitzchak zu Sarah. In describing Sarah, calls her Yiska. And so Rav Yitzchak said that Yiska is Sarah. Why did they call Sarah Yiska? She sachsa beruach hakodesh, because she saw with ruach hakodesh. By the way, you notice a lot of nicknames in the Gemaras that we're learning. A lot of nicknames, you know? Hadassah, Esther, Mered, Kalev, Bisya, Basparo, a lot of nicknames we have, right? And so here also is another one they called Sarah Yiska. Shenamar, kol asher tamar elecha, Sarah shema bekola. God says to Abram, whatever Sarah says, you should listen to her. She has ruach hakodesh. Tovar acher, Yiska or alternatively, not that she had Ruach HaKodesh, but she was very pretty. Okay, that's true also. We know that too. Remember when Avram is going down to Mitzrayim? Okay, good. So Miriam, we know that she was a prophet. The Torah says after the Kriyas Yamsuf, they sang the Shira, Sarah, the Az Yashir. Then Miriam takes the symbol and she starts singing with the ladies. And when she takes the symbol, the Torah calls her Achos Aharon, the sister of Aharon, which is strange because she was also the sister of Moshe. And we already know that she's the sister of Aaron. So what's the Torah telling us? So the Gemara is Velo Achos Moshe, but not the sister of Moshe. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Shahisam Isnava Kshi Achos Aaron. When she was the sister of Aaron only, before Moshe was born, she had prophecy. Omeres, she said, Asida Emisha Tele Bain Shioshias Yisrael, that my mother is going to give birth to a son who's going to save the Jewish people. Uvishasha Nolad, and when Moshe was born, Ismali Kol Abayis Kulo Ora, the whole house was filled with light. So her father, Amram, he stood up and he kissed her on the head. He said, my daughter, you see your prophecy is coming true. When they threw Moshe into the Nile. So then her father stood up and he hit her. He punched her on the head. He said, Miriam, what happened to your prophecy? So that's why Miriam was so interested to see what would happen to Moshe, because she loved him also. But because she had this prophecy beforehand that she wanted to see how the prophecy was going to turn out. Good. Devorah, how do you know Devorah was a prophet? Tichsebu Devorah Isha Niviyah. Aha. The Navi says that Devorah was a Niviyah. Esha Slapidos. She was also Esha Slapidos. My Esha Slapidos. Shoisa Osep Silos Lamikdosh. Devorah used to make wicks for the Mishkan. Vihi Osheves Tachas Tomar. And she sat underneath a palm tree. My Shna Tachas Tomar. Why did she sit under a palm tree? Amar Shimon Ben Avshalom Mishum Yichud. She sat outside. She didn't want to be in seclusion with anybody. Also, palm tree is very tall. Doesn't have a lot of foliage that's going to stick to you on the bottom. Good. Tavaracher matamarza ain lo ella lev echad at yisosha b'osador lohayolahem ella lev echad lavin shabashamayim. Similarly, just like a palm tree has one lave, one heart. There's a heart of the tree. You know when you get a lulav, it's got like a shidra, we call it. You know what I'm talking about, right? So a palm tree's got one heart. So similarly, when Devorah was in charge, the Jews only had one heart, lavim shabashamayim, one heart towards God. One day, somebody will say that I had a shul and only had, okay, good. Chana dichsiv atispalel chana. How do we know that Chana was a prophet? Because the pasuk says, "Vatispalel chana chana daven." When she was davening for Shiras Chana, "Vatomer olat slibi b'ashem, Rama karni b'ashem." So my horn is raised, right, via God. Rama karni below Rama pachi. So that was a prophecy because she said, "The kings who are anointed with a horn, they will be exalted. But the kings who are anointed bepach." With a vessel, the oil poured on the kings is with a vessel, they won't last. David and Shlomo were anointed with a horn, oil from a horn. And so their kingdom lasted. Shaul, v'yehu, shenimshichu bepach, lo nimshichu machuson. By contrast, Shaul and Yehu were anointed with a pach, with a vessel, and their kingdoms were not, their kingship was not elongated generation to generation. Chana said further, Ein kadosh kashem ki ein biltecha. Omar Rav Yehuda bar Menashe, al tikri biltecha ela livalo secha. What she was really saying was like this, that nothing swallows God. Shelo ki midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar adam. God is not like people. Midas basar adam masa yadam mevalo no so. Generally speaking, by people, when you make something, it outlives you, assuming you make something of quality. It outlives you. But God outlives all of his creations. The Ein Sor Ke'elokeinu, Chana said, Ein Sayer Ke'elokeinu. There's no like artist like God. Because Adam Tzartzur, when a person draws a picture Agabe Kosel on a wall, Ein Oyachala Hakteba Ruach, Neshama Kervayim, Bnei Me'ayim, he can't put into it life and organs and things. Aval Kadosh Baruch Hu Tzartzur, Besok Tzur, Umata Baruach, Neshama Kervayim, Bnei Me'ayim, but God, he makes one picture within another picture, like a fetus inside of a mother, and he gives it life and everything. God does things that we can't do. Avigail, Dichsiv, how do we know Avigail is a prophetess? Dichsiv, v'hayahi rocheves al chamor v'yoredes b'seser har. Remember, Avigail's married to this fellow Novel. He's a bad dude, and he doesn't, David asks him for help, and he refuses. So David's coming to kill him, and Avigail, she comes out, and she appeases David, so that David won't kill her husband, right? So so when she's doing that, so the Gemara asked, "Beseisar har minahar mivoyale." The pasuk should have said minahar and not beseisar. Some Rabbi Bar Shmuel iske dam habamina starim. So what really happened was she came out and she asked David a halachic shayla and hilchos nida. Not ladam ve'erasalo. She so showed the blood to David. Amar lo, David said to her, "Vichimar and dam balayla. You don't look at maras nida at night. What do you want me to do?" Amar lo, she said to him, "Vichidan and dinin nefashos balayla. You also don't serve capital punishment. You also don't do capital cases at night." So Amar Allah, he said to her, "Mori b'machusu v'lo tzarech lemedayne." He says, "We don't need to have a court case. Novel is going against the king." Amar Allah, "Adayin shol kayim." Woo! She says to him, "King, okay, there's this other guy named Shol, and he's still alive. So maybe you are the king, but maybe it's not so simple. That novel is Mori b'machus v'lo yatzetavach ba'olam, and not everybody's accepted you, David HaMelech." So Amar Allah, so David said to her, "You know what? You're right. Baruch tameich uvruch at asher kelisani ayom mivo bedamim." So blessed are you that you prevented me today from spilling damim, bloods. Plural. Let me just finish the story. The Gemara asks, "Damim tarti." Why does he say bloods plural? Mashma. It sounds like two plural. Sorry. Ela malami chagilsa shoka. At some point in this conversation, maybe she was getting on and off the animal. I don't know. Her thigh, right, was revealed. V'holach laor gimel parsos, and David HaMelech was aroused by it. So Amar Allah hashmili. So he said to her, what's going on with you? Amar Allah. She said to him, "Lo tiezos lepuka." He said, "No, David HaMelech, don't do this. This should not be a stumbling block for you." But Zos Michlad Ika Achrisi, she says, "This shouldn't be a stumbling block for you," which seems to indicate that something similar will be a stumbling block for him. And that was what happened with David and Bathsheba. So that was her prophecy. She had prophecy that this was going to be a stumbling block for David HaMelech. All right, we're not finished with Abigail and David, but it's already 16 and a half. So we'll stop here for tonight.